In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings and welcome to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, a weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder the Sunday Mass readings. Well, welcome to this special feast day. It's the official feast day that closes our Christmas tide, the baptism of the Lord. And so we began with this Advent journey for 4 weeks. We've entered into the 12 days of Christmas with the Epiphany officially on the 6th of the month of January, but we move Epiphany to that Sunday in celebration. And now we have this recognition that Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist. And yet another revelation or a manifestation that Jesus is God, that God has sent Jesus for a purpose, for a reason. And now we even hear the heavens opening up in this week as we hear of the event of the baptism of the Lord. So one of the words that comes to me as we read these readings today that I'm going to reflect a little bit more on is allow it. Allow it. So think about that as we come into these readings for the baptism of the Lord. In fact, there's a great little opening in this month's edition of the Magnificat for 2026 that talks about this feast of the baptism of the Lord. It says, "Jesus joins the people going out to John the Baptist in the gesture of repentance, not because there is sin in him, but to make it possible for us to share in his relationship with the Father announced from the heavens. He goes to the Baptist as a beggar because he takes upon himself our misery. The Lord Jesus lowers himself in his baptism and acknowledges his Father so that we will never hesitate to do the same. In baptism, Jesus gives us an efficacious approach to the Father. The Father knows us as his beloved sons and daughters." What a great way to get us prepared for this special feast of the baptism of the Lord. So let's begin with this prayer, the collect prayer for today's Mass. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who, when Christ had been baptized in the River Jordan, and as the Holy Spirit descended upon him, solemnly declared him your beloved Son, grant that your children, by adoption, reborn of water and the Holy Spirit, may always be well-pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am well pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness." The word of the Lord. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Give to the Lord, you sons of God. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Adore the Lord in holy attire. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the Lord over vast waters. The voice of the Lord is mighty. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The God of glory thunders, and in his temple all say glory. The Lord is enthroned above the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord will bless his people with peace. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whomever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me?" Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you picked up on the word here in the gospel, allow it. But let's go to the first reading just for a moment as we look to see, again, the wisdom of the liturgy, where we go to the early Old Testament prophets. Typically, we hear from one of the prophets in the Old Testament for that first reading in our mass readings, and then a psalm, and then one of the letters typically from Paul in the second reading, and we get a reading from the Acts of the Apostles today, and then we have in year A, which we're in right now as we've entered into a new liturgical year, the readings of year A is mostly we'll hear from Matthew. So what I wanted to just look at in this reading from the prophet of Isaiah, we hear about the Spirit. We hear about the Lord sending a servant. This is talking about the servant. There's these different servants, the servant who will be suffering, the servant prophecies that come from Isaiah. And Isaiah is describing what the servant will look like, so that we can identify him when he comes. And we hear words of hope regarding justice, and that even a bruised reed, even a reed that doesn't look like it has any worth, even a smoldering wick, there's no purpose for this wick anymore. It can't be relit. Even those frail, seemingly invaluable things, entities, will not be touched. He won't break these seemingly insignificant things. You know, and that there will be justice. He will establish justice. This is all this sense of hopefulness, this sense of what has been distorted, what has been broken will come together, will be made right. And we know Jesus even says, you know, all things, I will make all things new. And so those who are in darkness, those who are in unjust situations, you know, what was the most unjust situation? Jesus on the cross. And yet through that, Jesus brings true justice, true hope, true healing, true life. And so there's a hopefulness that Isaiah is giving us in this reading today from chapter 42. One of the phrases in the psalm for today gives us this sense, it gives us this image of the baptism. Certainly with baptism, we have things like water. We have particular words of prayer and blessing. We have a particular, usually there's a candle and there's fire. There's a lighting of the candle. There's the sense of the Holy Spirit coming down, because the Holy Spirit certainly does come and encounter that individual at baptism. So there's fire, there's water, there's oil. So there's these different symbols and sacramentals that are associated with baptism, but particularly water. And we see the voice of the Lord is over the waters. You know, God has power over everything. And he's not just greater than the waters, but he is the greatest. I mean, he made the waters. And so the waters are subject to him. The voice of the Lord is mighty. It is majestic. And this is even foreshadowing that over the waters of when Jesus is baptized, we're going to hear the mighty voice of the Lord. We're going to hear the mighty, majestic voice of God revealing this revelation, this epiphany. We had all of the nations coming to recognize the Christ child, the king. Now we have Jesus as an adult. He's beginning his ministry. And so here's John the Baptist with the role as the prophet, the final prophet to preach that Jesus the Messiah has come. He's here, and he has a role to play in pointing to who is the Messiah and where to go. And then we'll see another epiphany of the majestic revelation of Jesus's God's presence with us. You know, God is with us, Emmanuel. He was born, then his ministry begins. We see this baptism. We'll talk a little bit about it in the Gospel of Matthew. And we also hear about what the first miracle with the wedding feast at Cana. We'll also hear the voice of God with a transfiguration. So there's these different revelations. Allow this to happen. Allow it. So let's listen to Peter in this Acts of the Apostles reading, because it's a great story. And I just pulled up the Acts of the Apostles. This is verse 10. It's a great whole section to read as the early church is beginning. And see if I can get to it here. There's a story about a vision that Peter gets, that God is revealing more and more of to the early church. This isn't just a faith and a relationship that's for an exclusive group of Jewish people. This isn't just for a small group of people. This is for all who will believe. And all of these different laws and regulations in terms of what to eat and how you could eat and how to prepare dishes and how to cleanse and what you can touch and what can't you touch. All of these different laws, over 600 plus, that the Jewish custom had. There's this vision of Peter that is mentioned in the first part of chapter 10, where he sees, it says, heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down. And in it were all of the earth's four-legged animals and reptiles and birds of the sky. And a voice said, we've got this account of a voice. We hear it about the voice over the waters in the psalm. And here's a voice telling Peter to slaughter and eat, doing something contrary to what the Mosaic law said. And Peter's confused because this isn't the way he was taught in the law. And then the voice says, what God has made clean, you are not to call profane. And so there was a time when the Jewish people thought, well, we're the chosen ones. And so we're the ones that are chosen by God. And it's just our group. Nobody else. It's an exclusive club. And that is not Jesus's teaching at all. It is for all. But yet I worked through this group of people through history to teach, to form, to open your heart, to help to nurture, and I think about our granddaughter just got Play-Doh for the first time. Oh my goodness. Pray for those parents. But you know, you keep plying with it and squishing it, and you keep working with it to soften it and soften it and soften it. And that's what the Lord over time has tried to do with our hearts, to try to soften our hearts, to try to help us to have right relationships, one with God and worshiping God and praising Him, but also to have proper right relationships with one another, to not take advantage of one another, to not harm one another, to not oppress one another, and on and on and on. And so Peter is being challenged with a new way of looking at this gift he was given, you know, kind of be the head of the church. Jesus has given him that role, that office. He didn't earn it. It was given to him. And so now Peter's been given this message, and there was this sense that I shouldn't be talking to Gentiles. And yet here comes Cornelius. I love this. Cornelius comes into the picture, and Cornelius also, who has loved the Jewish people. It talks about Cornelius was a man, a great righteous man. And Cornelius had a vision of that he needed to meet Peter, Simon Peter. And so Cornelius sends his men to where Peter is and asks for Peter to come and have a audience with Cornelius, so to speak. And so they meet, and these men have a vision. And I think about that word, allow it. Because there were certain things in the culture that said, you only go this far, that only this is acceptable. There were these limitations in each of their perspectives, from Peter's perspective and from Cornelius. But they're being invited to look deeper by God. And this recognition that it's for all. And so as we look at Peter having this conversation with Cornelius and his whole household, you know, he shares the message, the gospel. And it says here, we don't get this in the reading today from Acts, but it says, while Peter was still speaking these things, and he's talking about, you know, Jesus, and he's talking about the life of Jesus and the witness, he says, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. And so he's allowing to go out of the box, out of the comfort zone, to proclaim the truth. And here works the Holy Spirit. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles. So it's like, wow. This is for all, right? All nations will adore him. This was the example of the Magi. They came from outside the Jewish community, but they were recognizing the Jewish king, the king of the Jews, the newborn king. Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit, even as we have? The Holy Spirit's working with everyone, not just Jews. But now Gentiles, you and I, get to be part of this family of faith. So then he ordered, Peter ordered that Cornelius and his family would be baptized in the name of Jesus. And what a great story that all are called. Now, not all are going to respond like Cornelius, but those who do respond, we shouldn't push them away. We shouldn't, let me use the word that John says, shouldn't prevent them from coming into the church. I'm working with a group of volunteers at our parish that are helping people who want to become baptized. They're adults. They've never been baptized before. And now, for many different reasons, they're seeking baptism and they're seeking a relationship with God and the sacramental life. And so why should we prevent them? They have all different backgrounds, all different stories. We shouldn't be preventing that. We should be allowing it and helping to foster it. So in this reading from Matthew, we hear this account of the baptism of Jesus. And so in our church, one of our churches, there's a beautiful stained glass that has John standing above Jesus and this image of the baptism. And maybe in many baptismal fonts, you'll see an image of John the Baptist. And John is confused. Again, kind of like Peter. Peter was confused. Like, should I let Cornelius and his family? They're not really the chosen ones. And here's John. Well, you are the chosen one. Why should you subject yourself to being baptized? And so it says in this reading, John tried to prevent the baptism. You know, when have you tried to prevent somebody from joining that group or somebody getting this particular step up in their work? Or when have you tried to prevent yourself from growing, from learning? When have you prevented the Holy Spirit from working in your life? When do you think, well, I'm above that? He's not prepared for this. She's not ready for that. But Jesus says to John, because John's using his own reasoning, like, you're the king, you're the one, I'm just here to serve you. Just like Peter, well, Jesus washes the feet of Peter. Don't wash my feet, Lord. And the Lord says, allow it. And Jesus tells John the Baptist, his cousin, allow it for now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. It's part of God's plan to allow it, to allow the Holy Spirit to work. Because what happens then is John allows this baptism, the waters open up, and we hear, like what the psalm in today's psalm said, the voice of the Lord is mighty. We heard a mighty voice over the vast waters, just like in Genesis, when God created, you know, he spoke and it happened. And a voice came from heaven. I would have loved to have been there on the bank of the Jordan. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there and to hear? Who heard that? You know, we don't know how many people heard that voice. John the Baptist, I'm assuming, did. Jesus probably heard it. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. This is the way it's to be. Mary and Joseph took their child to be circumcised, presented him at the temple. We have the presentation of the Lord coming up on February 2nd. We recognize in the church another big feast day, and it's part of the joyful mysteries of the rosary. Mary and Joseph didn't need to take their baby to the temple. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. But they didn't think they were above the law. That's part of my point here. They weren't above the law. The law is God's law. John isn't above the law to decide who gets baptized and who doesn't. It's God's law. God's law is God's love. God wants us to be in his love. He made us out of his love, for love, to love. And so if we genuinely want to receive that love and want to have that relationship, allow it, allow it, allow that relationship, to be fostered, to grow. Allow it. Allow it. We don't understand. I think this is the beauty of the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she didn't say, well, I'm above the law. I'm the mother of God. So I don't have to follow all of the rules that all you people have to follow. No, she followed God's law. She put herself under the law. Full of grace, the mother of God. But she followed God's law. Allow it. Allow this to happen so that my life can grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the sacramental life that I want everyone to embrace and to allow them to ignite them with, on fire with love of God and of neighbor. So allow it. Think of when you have denied, prevented, as the scripture says, John tried to prevent this. There's this hostility to bringing a unity, bringing together. Have we prevented? Well, you're not ready yet. With proper thinking, are we allowing God to work in this way? Or are we trying to be God? Are we trying to be the one who makes the decisions? Let's defer to God using right reason. Yes, scriptures. Yes, wisdom. Yes. But John tried to prevent something that was beyond his control, that was beyond his office. And God saying, allow it for now. Allow it for now. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, and our enemies. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured upon all those in great need, those who are in darkness, those who are creating darkness. Let's ask for a conversion. Let's ask for a reparation. Let's ask for repentance and a turning away from evil and a turning into a Cornelius, to a lover of the light of Christ. Let us pray. God, our Father and Deliverer, you have redeemed your people through the waters of baptism into the death and resurrection of Christ. May we who have passed through the waters take up our cross and follow him from death to glory according to your will. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.